Wonderful. Well, we come to the Lord's table tonight, and I'm going to invite you to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 52. I'll have you turn there. And we're going to consider tonight Jesus as the suffering Savior. You're going to turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 52. When you get there, you'll want to find verses 13, and we'll consider through verse 15. Isaiah chapter 52. Now, Isaiah chapter 53 is maybe, as well an Old Testament scripture as there is. But the song that Isaiah sings in Isaiah 53 really begins in Isaiah 52. Isaiah 53, we think of the suffering Savior. But the song begins in Isaiah chapter 52, where you've turned, beginning in verse 13. This is one of the servant songs in Isaiah's prophecy that looks forward to Jesus. And so we're going to consider the one stanza of this song tonight. It's the first stanza of the song, and probably the least well-known of all the stanzas of the song. And as we do, we will consider our Lord's mission. And something strange happened to me in choir rehearsal this afternoon. I was doing great, except for sort of losing it this morning and that singing that song. Other than that, I was doing great. And then during choir, I could feel my voice just going downward and downward. So we'll see how this all goes tonight. So if we don't get all the way through this, you'll know that I ran out of voice to do everything else we need to do. All right? So Isaiah chapter 52, beginning in verse 13, we'll read through verse 15. "Behold," Isaiah writes, "my servant," that's Jesus, "shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their," or "kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that he which had been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider." Now, this passage of scripture tells us about four aspects of our Lord's mission. And we come to this table, and at this table we see Jesus and his mission laid before us. We'll partake of it to remember his mission, but this is one aspect of his mission that we will consider. It's interesting to me that we see in Isaiah 6, he sees God high and lifted up, and he falls down in worship before him. Here, Isaiah sees Jesus high and lifted up, and here we fall down too, even as we come to this table and we worship him. Here the servant is equated with Jehovah, for he indeed is Jehovah God. And so Jesus is exalted. There are 10 exaltations of Jesus. The first exaltation of Jesus was in eternity past. Jesus was praying this wonderful prayer before he is taken and crucified. You read it in the 17th chapter of John. It's called sometimes the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And in John 17, verse 5, Jesus prays to the Father, "Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had before the world was." And he gives us an insight into what he was like before the world began, before God created the world. And he helps us to understand that before he came to this earth, he shared the very glory of the eternal God, for he is the eternal God. There's the exaltation of eternity past. In eternity past, Jesus as God was exalted in glory. He did not become the Son of God when he came to the earth. He always was the Son of God. He became a man, but it did not take away from his deity, nor did his deity take away from his humanity. He is the miraculous Son of God, the eternal God in human form. So he will always be God. And then there's another exaltation, that is Jesus' exaltation in his incarnation. So the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, they all, when they saw him, praised him. The angels, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The wise men, they give him gifts and they fall down and worship him. Oh, there's the Lord's exaltation in his ministry. Though he was rejected by most, there were some that fell down before him and praised him. Luke chapter 19, and I'll turn in my Bible there. You're welcome to turn with me. Luke chapter 19. And Jesus is, now he has come from the Mount of Olives and he goes down that way. He is riding on a donkey. And he's, as he comes, remember how the people do? They take their coats and they lay them before him and they're waving palm branches. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And there's wonderful exaltation of Jesus as he comes. I'll read chapter 19, verse 38. They say, blessed is the King, be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And now some of the Pharisees were afraid because this was a political statement as much as a statement of worship. And they didn't want to mess with the politics. And the Romans were on high alert in this holy season. And so verse 39, some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Ironically, Jesus was exalted on the cross. Oh, to men he's lifted up. It was a lifted up in scorn, a convicted criminal, in scorn there in shame, hanging naked on a cross. To his enemies, it was the sure defeat. But in truth, all of this was part of God's plan. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, he prophesied of himself. And so his exaltation, even on the cross, and as the day ends, and Jesus is taken down from the cross, he's placed in a tomb. Was it over? Oh, absolutely not. No, glorious in power, as he said on the third day, he comes from the tomb alive. The exaltation of resurrection. And then the exaltation of glorification. For today he is returned to glory. And he is now, as he was with the same glory that he had in eternity past, he's seated on the heavenly throne. John records it in the first chapter of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 1. Listen to how God describes Jesus as he is now. I'll begin reading in verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about with the paps or the waist with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. To have the keys of hell and death. He is exalted in his glorification. Oh, Jesus is exalted in his redemption. And as he builds his church, as he said he would do in Matthew 16, 18, he is working in his church. Ephesians 3, 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen. As he builds his church, the redeemed ones from all across the world of every tribe and tongue and people, as he builds his church, he receives glory. But friend, he is also exalted in his retribution. I'm going to go from my... in my Bible, from Revelation chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 15, you're welcome to join me there. Revelation chapter 15. And I want you to notice what the Bible tells us. Revelation chapter 15, I'll start reading in verse 3 and then verse 4. And I saw as it were... verse 2. This is verse 3. And they sing, these are those who have... been redeemed by the Lord and knew what it was to experience the worst of the judgment of God. And they sang, verse 3, the song of Moses, a servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. In this time, when the judgment of God is poured out on the world in a way that is, I think, even beyond our comprehension, though God has revealed sufficiently to us to know what will happen, yet, even in the judgments that he pours out, people of all nations will come and bring glory to him. He will be exalted in his return. You're there in Revelation 15. I'll turn to Revelation chapter 19 now. When Jesus comes to the earth again, he will come in the air and rapture his church. After that 7-year tribulation period, he will come to the earth and he will establish the millennial kingdom. Listen to what these saints say of that moment. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and as of the voice of many thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. And he is exalted in his reign, for he will indeed, when he establishes his rule on the earth, he will indeed be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And then he will reign throughout from his millennial reign. He will then reign through eternity, eternally praised and glorified and exalted. And all of which is the mission of his glorious exaltation. And when we come to this Lord's table, the exaltation which was his exaltation in eternity past, and the exaltation which will be his exaltation in eternity future, can be the exaltation in which you can join. For when we come to this table, this is my body broken for you. And we exalt him in praise for his sacrifice. My blood shed. And we take the cup. We praise him and glorify him as we think of that precious blood. And together, we share in his exaltation every time we come to the Lord's table, and we give him at this table the glory due unto his name. Well, I think my voice has just about landed to be able to finish out the rest of this service. But I wonder for you tonight, are you prepared to come to this table and to exalt him as you take this bread and this cup? And we will do so until the Lord come. I'm going to pray. Now, Lord God, we come to this table, and as we come to this table, we are reminded that your glory is far bigger than each of us. And our lives are to be lived for your glory, invested for your glory. We die to self for your glory. We serve you for your glory. And we ask, O God, that as we come to this table, that our heart's response to you would truly be for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to, in a moment, we're going to sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. It's 371 in your hymnal. I think we'll sing just a verse of it. I'll have you stand in just a moment, but I want to explain how we partake of the Lord's table here at Stanley Heights. We celebrate what we call close communion. It means that if you are a saved individual, and as far as you know, you are right with God, you are welcome, whether you're a member at Stanley Heights or not, to participate with us in the Lord's table. We're delighted for you to do so. If you are here as and you're not a member and you don't feel comfortable participating in the Lord's Supper with us, that is fine. In a moment, we will stand and sing. And when we do so, we'll give you an opportunity to slip out. Something else about the Lord's table is when we come to the Lord's table, we come to be sure that we're right with God. Remember in 1 Corinthians 11 that the Apostle Paul was dealing with the church in Corinth that had so many problems. And one of their problems was there were people who were partaking of this Lord's table and they were doing so with such disdain, not being right with God, that God brought judgment into their lives. And so the Lord encourages them. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 11. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so we will take some time before we partake for all of us to examine our hearts and make sure that we're right with God. It may be that there's a brother or sister here in our congregation that you are not right with them. And may I encourage you when we reach that a quiet place to slip out and go to that brother or sister in the Lord and make that relationship right before you partake of the Lord's table tonight. Now, the heart of the Lord is always to examine yourself, be restored to the Lord. And the way the Apostle Paul writes it, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Because God wants us to be in fellowship with him and fellowship with one another. But if you will not make your relationship with God right, if you know there's a relationship with a brother or sister here that you know is not right and you will not make it right, rather than put yourself in a place of the Lord's judgment, would you just pass the plate and pass the tray so that you do not further put yourself in a perilous place? All right? So what we're going to do in a moment, we'll stand and we will sing. We'll sing a verse of Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. And then after that, we will, as we sing, our men that are serving will come. And then after that, we'll have a few moments of silence where we will seek the Lord and make sure that we're right with the Lord. And then we will partake of the Lord's table. All right? So would you stand and let's sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. Let's sing. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. You may be seated. So let's take a few moments before we partake of the Lord's table and make sure that you, each of us, is right with the Lord and right with our brother or sister. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we have looked forward to spending this time around your table all day. And now we get to enjoy the sweetness of your fellowship in union and communion with you and with our brothers and sisters. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you tell us that you inhabit the praises of your people. And so we pray that as we praise you and as we remember you, that you would truly be honored and we would know the joy of it. For we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, would you stand? Serve the bread. Let's sing of the cross. Down at the cross where my Savior died, glory to his name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing for sin I cried, there to my heart, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his
name. Let's sing that next verse.
I am so wondrously saved from sin. So sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
may be seated. Let's sing, Behold the Lamb.
Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Slain from the foundation of the world. For sinners crucified. O holy sacrifice, Lamb of God, behold the Lamb, crown him, crown him, worthy is the foundation of the world, for sinners crucified, O holy sacrifice, behold the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb.
So the Apostle Paul tells us this, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Men, would you stand? May serve the cup. Oh, there is something about the name of Jesus. Let's sing about his name.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
beneath the cross of Jesus, beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. Thus the mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the from the burning of, you may be seated, heat and the burden of the. We're going to go and sing just a chorus that you know well. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, that Jesus Christ. And then before we take the cup that reminds us of the blood of our Lord, we're going to sing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of every verse of the song, Nothing But the Blood, is wonderful. Each one carries a wonderful theological truth of the cross. And when you have to decide which one, it's hard to decide which one because they're all so powerful and meaningful. But the one that I want to sing is the last verse of it. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And apart from the blood of Christ, my friend, you have no hope. You have no eternal peace, but only through the shed blood of Christ. And so let's sing of His hope and peace tonight. This is all my hope and peace, Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And then the Apostle Paul tells us, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." Let's stand and sing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, when we've been there 10,000 years, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Good night. God's blessings.